period, as we call it here. So just quick review on the appearances. We've been through a lot of them. We talked about and the importance of them. Without the eyewitness account, where will we be? So Mary Magdalene and the other women were at the tomb when they went there. The trip to Emmaus and the Jesus retelling of all the prophecies about himself. That would just be fascinating just to hear that. And then when they got back from Emmaus to Jerusalem to tell the disciples about it, well, Peter had already seen Jesus then. That came in. And then the apostles, other apostles, Sea of Galilee, 500 brethren at once, James. Of course, at the time of the Great Commission, he would have all the apostles together again there. We'll get to that part tonight a little bit. And then we talked about these verses here. Thomas was not there the first time when the others saw him. And then when Thomas did see him, Jesus told him, said, you know, blessed, my clicker is not clicking, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that, of course, included us from that standpoint. And then it goes on to say, these are written that we may believe, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believe in him, have life in his name. And that life part we didn't talk about a little bit. I'm going to read half a dozen verses here real short about the life, the fact that, let me get the next slide before I do that. And then we talked about this last time. Paul wraps up the whole chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 on the resurrection when he introduces it there, talking about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and then all the appearances he lists before we get into the arguments about the fact that Christ is risen. So, get in tonight. We're at the climax. Everything's happening that's going to happen. You may have heard this said before. Everything before the cross looks up, you know, forward to the cross. Everything now looks back to the cross. If you've heard that expression or not, but the cross being the climax of everything we do, the forgiveness of all our sins before and after with that. Of course, sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, and now Jesus has come and paid the debt for that sin all the way back there and forward, which is that. And then he says, gives us life through his name. That's where I want to read these verses. So think about these a minute. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, to the Father, except through me. Chapter 6 and verse 40 of John, this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. I'll raise him up the last day. John 6, 68, Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? This is the big chapter when he tried to get him to understand who he really was and not look after the physical food and things. And all of them turned and left him, so many of the ones who were following him. Then Peter said, who should we go to? You have the words of eternal life. John 20, verse 31, these are written, we had on the screen, these are written that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believe him may have life in his name. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, fight the fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. And then 1 John 5, 12, 13, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So all that eternal life, everything we have, spiritual life. Philip calls what we've just been talking about the last few weeks. It's a biggie. Back to Genesis 15, 3:15 again. Christ is going to bruise the head of the serpent. You think about that in physical terms. You've got a snake. You want to kill it. But what do we all do? We cut its head off. We do something to the snake's head. Turn its tail into a thing. You're going to attack the head. And Christ has crushed Satan's head. So let's look at kind of where we go from some of the different gospels here just a little bit. From Mark, the 11 were eating. And while they were eating, Jesus was there. And he rebuked their unbelief. They still, at that point, had a hard time accepting who he was. And then we have the Great Commission. And we're going to see this in all the different, well, three different gospels that have this in there. He said to them, go. And the go is implied or said in all three of them. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. What are you going to preach when you preach the gospel? What Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel is. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In Acts 8, when Philip was the eunuch, what did he do? He preached to him, Jesus. Go preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is baptized will be saved. He does not believe will be condemned. Mark's version of the Great Commission. So all this time he spent with them, getting them ready, he's come, he's done what he came to do, he's glorified the Father, glorified himself, and now he's about to leave them. And it's up to them. Go preach. Signs would follow. Signs to confirm the word. Okay. Who's going to believe a man who was raised from the dead? In fact, he was raised from the dead. Now you can have eternal life because of it without some signs to accompany it. And so that's what Mark says in the last part of his gospel, to confirm the message. Now, the same Holy Spirit who is with them to confirm the signs has now delivered the written testimony to us that the signs are no longer needed. And we just read that from the Gospel of John about these things were written that you might believe. All right, from Matthew, they were on a mountain in Galilee. Again, it says they worshiped him, but some were still doubting. I don't think this is the apostles necessarily. The broader term of disciples is used. So I think we're a broader type thing here. And then we have Matthew's version of the Great Commission. Again, go. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go. Make disciples. Make followers of me, of every nation. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them what? Teaching them to observe everything I have taught you. All the things I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Go, teach, make disciples. Teach them what I've taught you. And then Luke 24. Jesus said to them, it is written, what's necessary for the Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all the nations. Again, the implied go, beginning at Jerusalem. So all this is just leading up to the next quarter when Jeff's going to pick up with Acts, the go part. It's all in Acts. So Jesus is now going back to the Father, the exaltation part of exalting him back to that glorious position he had before he came to the earth here. So they're on the Mount of Olives, and which near Bethany, and he has them together. He blesses them, and he was taken up into heaven. What did that look like? I don't know. I have in my mind a picture of it. I'm sure you do in yours. You might think of if your children, I don't know you about, a helium balloon, it just ascends into heaven, into the clouds, it's gone. I don't know how you illustrate it, but you think about turning loose the balloon, and he was taken up. He just went up, and you don't see it anymore. It just hits behind the clouds, it's gone. That's kind of the picture I have in my mind of the ascension. He was taken up into heaven, taken out of their sight. And two men stood by there, angels, obviously, and said, why are you looking up into heaven? Why are you gazing up into heaven? It's gone. You don't see the balloon anymore. But he's coming back, same way that he left. So now we have the ascension. This is the climax of his time on earth, gone back to the heaven. He returned in like manner. So they're all alone. Remember back when he was telling them in the discussion, John 14, 15, 16, you know, I'm going to be with you a little while. I'm going to leave you a while. And I'll be back with you. Talking about the time he would be dead and in the tomb and come back. Well, now he's also prepared them during that time for this. I'll leave you. I'll go back to the Father, the Spirit to guide you. So this time's come. He's now left them. So you just vision them now as I just kind of see them looking around at one another and say, okay, what do we do now? What's next? I mean, where do we go? They worshiped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy in the temple, praising and blessing God. And we see that picked up in Acts when they were there and healed the lame man. Remember that? Kind of introducing all of that with this. So think about this as he left them with the feeling they had when he left them when he'd been crucified. I think it's entirely different. I mean, they were scattered. They didn't know what to do. Went back to their homes. Totally devastated because the Messiah had been killed. Their master had been killed. Their teacher had been killed. Different thing this time. Great joy. So from Mark 16, last part of it. So the Lord spoke to them. He received up into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God, the exaltation. Back at the right hand of the Father, like he was before he came to the earth. And then when Stephen is being stoned, remember the last part of Acts chapter 7, looked up into heaven, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, referenced there. So now what? Looking ahead, what are they going to do? Well, they went out everywhere and preached them. They did exactly what Jesus told them to. Go preach. Go make disciples. Go tell people about me. Go tell them who I am. Use the signs and wonders to convince them who I am. Baptize them. Tell them about eternal life. Go. So they went everywhere preaching. The Lord worked with them, confirmed their word through the signs that they did. Again, from Mark 16. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 for just a minute. We're going to just flip through some pages here. You may have done this before. I've done it with a lot of classes. as you look to go into the book of Acts, and they start preaching. I'm going to hit some verses here. And the point we're getting to in all these verses is, you killed him, God raised him up. That's what they're going to preach. You killed him, God raised him up. Acts 2, 23 and 24. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it's not possible he should be held by it. You killed him, God raised him. Verse 32, same chapter. This Jesus God is raised up, of which we are all witnesses. We're back to the witnesses, the appearances part again. Chapter 3, verse 14. You denied the Holy One, just as for a murder to be granted to you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from God's raised from the dead, of which we are all witnesses. You killed him, God raised him up, we're witnesses. Chapter 3, verse 26. To you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turn away every one of you from your iniquities. God raised him up. Chapter 4, and verse 10. Let it be known to all of you, to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you. Oh, that's if they raised the lame man in the temple. Or not raised him, healed him. Chapter 5, verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered, hanging him on a tree. And then chapter 10, verses 39 and 40, this is with Cornelius. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom, different word this time, whom they killed. He's talking to Gentiles now, whom the Jews, whom they killed, hanging him on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Just some of the passages that talk about you killed him, God raised him up. We're witnesses. You killed him, God raised him up. We're witnesses. That's what they go preaching over and over and over again. Now, if you would, turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. We're going to read these two short chapters. We'll be just about finished. Revelation chapter 4. Throne of God. Throne scene. John. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was that like a trumpet, speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. There was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. They had crowns of gold on their heads, and from the thrones proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. There were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. First living creature was like a lion, the second creature like a calf, the third like a face of a man. The fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. They do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures would give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loosen its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, set out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and now he had taken the scroll. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, with us are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open the seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Thou looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor, glory and power to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." The 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. The exaltation, the slain Lamb, you were slain to redeem men. So what are they going to do? Mark 16 says they went out and preached everywhere. Look at the Great Commission points we have in their various Gospels. Go preach, baptize. Go make disciples. Baptize, teach. Preach repentance, remission of sin, Luke said. With great joy, they're continually in the temple, blessing and praising God. So here it is. Go, preach, baptize, teach, preach some more, and praise God. And that's the what now. Testimony from eyewitnesses. Written for us to read and to know for sure. John 21. This is the disciple, John himself, who testifies of these things, who wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. So much more. So much more could have been said. John said other things could have been written, and the world wouldn't hold the books, but these are written that we may know. So that's the kind of the wrap-up. The exaltation. The what's next.